Father, I ask you that you will bless us this time, that we will be able to reach into the heavenlies, that we will be able to see the power that is in your blood, that you gave us, that we will be able to understand the principles and to get to that position that you offered us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when I came here, last night I had some impressions, and I would like to express it a little bit, because it seems to me that we are still missing something. And what we are missing, and we heard it again and again, you know, to reach up higher. But what does it mean in some practical sense? Because we have all the knowledge, we have we know all the preachings, and we can listen to it back and forth. And I don't know. It seems to me that we are like graduated students from university, but those students, when they come to work, you find out they know nothing. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And you need to learn them the practical things, how to use the knowledge they have.
True.
So. And it seems to me we are in very similar condition, and if we look around, we see what is happening, you know, the terrorist attacks and things like that, and it tells us something. It tells us that the time is here.
Yes, amen.
And because the time is here, we are a little bit, and we know that the time must come, that it must come one day. But now we see it's here, and we are, and what to do now? What to do now? Isn't that true? Because we have a fear to get to that points that to take it.
Yes.
I remember I had an experience one day. There was a conference 2007, I believe it was in Czech Republic. There was Brother Dusil ministering whole week. I think there was just one meeting with Brother Bert. Other meetings were just for Brother Dusil. And he spoke a lot about faith and about, you know, overcoming different things. And one of the meetings, there was a praise, and he spoke about the heavenlies that are around us, that we just don't see it, we don't touch it, we are not there. And during the praise, I was like climbing up higher, like on a ladder, and I had a like vision, you know, and there was a, like on the ceiling, there was a, the, how you say, the cover that you can open like a window, you know, that goes up. And I was going to that hole with my head, and in that moment I got a fear. What will I see? And when I got this fear and I get a little bit back, then I was gone. The vision was gone and I see nothing. I lost it because I had a fear. I had a fear of the things that I don't know. Because we have a fear of the things that we don't know, and we need to enter in. And that's what I believe we deal with. We deal with fear because we are losing our
control.
We are losing our nice place, our the things we know, our environment is melting, you know, everything is going apart, but we are afraid to enter something that is higher and that we don't know what it is. Because going through the going by the Spirit means that Spirit leads us to the places we don't know, to the situations we don't know. So when we come to place where we don't know, we have to be fully depending on the Spirit of His leading, what He says us, what He tells us. And in some places, suddenly, all our knowledge means nothing. Nothing. Because this knowledge is not used to us, because we use our knowledge in our environments. We use the knowledge in our circumstances. But when we enter to different circumstances, then we find out we don't know what to do. And I had this feeling last night that's the thing that we lack, you know, that's the thing that we need to enter in. Because entering in is by faith. There is nothing else that really counts. Nothing else. Even a small child that has no knowledge can enter in if the child has a faith. So it's not the matter of our education, but it's a matter of faith. And it seems to me that there is some lack of faith, you know, among us. I don't want to point at anybody. I know how it is with me. You know, I just told you my experience that I had some time ago. So when I know that I need to enter some place, then there is some fear. You know, we need to go to travel. This year we went to Ethiopia, and there were some troubles in Ethiopia. And you know, when you see the news, you look at the news, there is some fights and things like that. Suddenly the fear comes and tries to overcome the mind and demand over you. So should I go there or not to go there because of the fear? And then wife comes, you know, it's dangerous to go there now. So even add some fear. But we can't be afraid of those things. We just need to be on the right time, in the right place, because God appointed us to that place. Can we open a Bible? I don't have it on my phone, but it's just ringing on Skype. So there is First Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks about the coming of Jesus. And I just read it when I was on the plane on the way here. Okay. And from verse 14 it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And next verse, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." My question is, I don't want to speak now about this natural level, but a little bit take these verses up. Are we alive?
Are we what?
Alive.
We are alive.
Because it says, which are alive. That remain alive. The question is, are we alive?
Quasi.
You know, there was a dream about dead man, and only his eyes was blinking, you know.
And he was dead.
And he was dead, you know. Almost dead. And there was somebody coming to bring poison to his eye to kill that man. Fully. Do you remember the dream? No? You had it, so you remember it.
he was barely alive when he was blinking, and even then the enemy wanted to kill him fully.
And the dream speaks about us.
Jesus.
You know, it speaks about us. Because we are in trouble, because we think that we are alive.
That's the church.
That's church, Revelation, yes. That's what I was going to. You know, when I was a boy, small boy, I went to the school and the teacher told us that there are different things. There are things that are dead and things that are alive. And what was the difference between things that are dead? Like a stone, you know, rock, dust, that's dead things. But there are things that are alive, like plants, animals. And what's the difference?
They grow.
They grow.
They breathe.
Something else?
They eat.
They eat.
Pass out waste.
They reproduce.
And there are some levels of life. So the plants, they are the lowest level. Isn't it? They have some kind of life, but the life is just natural, it's just flesh life. But animals, they have a little bit higher level of life. Because, what? Because
they have a soul.
Because they have soul. They can feel, they can think to some point of degree, you know, they have some desires probably somehow for something, maybe led by hormones, but yes, they have something, you know. So they are very close to us as a man, but man has different level of life, or can have different level of life, because he can be also on the level of animal. But man has can have different level of life because we have a spirit that connects us to God.
Yes.
So we are able to receive life from above and to do things that are different than just animals. Because animals, they can't decide many times. They can do small decisions if to eat the grass here or there, you know, they do some decisions. They are sometimes pretty clever, some animals. But when the hormone comes, they are totally lost. You know, we had a female dog, I don't know how you call it in English, but female dog, and her time comes to have a baby. So we try to find a male dog that would be the same kind. And so we found some people that had this dog, and this dog was pretty aggressive. We came there, and the dog was just jumping on the fence, you know, and it's my property, it's me, I'm the one that rules here. But we made a deal with the owner, and we came with our female dog, and when we came with our female dog, the male dog smelled something, and his hormones totally changed his behavior, and we can enter the garden. And he didn't see us. He didn't take care of us. He just saw the female dog because of his hormones. And we don't want to be in, on that level, don't we?
No.
So we need something more that will give us the strength.
Hallelujah.
To overcome, to be animals. And to be more alive than just animals. Because when God looks at us, He doesn't see us alive because we are moving and breathing and eating, you know. But He sees us alive if we are connected with Him.
Yes.
If we are not connected with Him, there is no life. That's how God sees it. There is no life. So maybe look at this Revelations. It's chapter... Chapter 3, I believe. Let us read it, because it really speaks about church of this time. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. I want to see
verse 14.
This is the first verse and second verse. Let's read it. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, says, He that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead.
Mm-hmm.
Be watchful and strengthen and the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Yes.
It speaks about us because it's a fifth church, so it speaks about golden altar.
Golden altar of incense.
And golden altar speaks about the sacrifice before entering into the most holy place. So it speaks about us because it's time of this sacrifice.
Yes.
And because this is the time of the sacrifice of our souls, Then we need to have something to sacrifice. And if we are dead, there is nothing to sacrifice. Because God doesn't look for sacrificing dead things. You know, last meeting Baruch Chiyoki spoke about sacrifice, and the law doesn't say, bring me dead sheep and sacrifice it to me. The sheep has to be alive, or it must be something that is full of life, and then I can bring it like as a sacrifice, you know. So I have to have life that I am able to give something to God, and. I don't know how to really express it, but it seems to me that there is something that we need to how to say it, you know, that we need to do, because the things are really about doing something. Let me say it a different way. God made us in three parts. He made us as a spirit, soul, and body. And as Baruch said, he asked God why he created us this way. If he created us as a spirit, we would be just perfect. But if he creates us as a body, we would be just like animals or robots with no will, no real use. So God created us as a spirit, soul, and body. And why he did it? Because he wants to do some job. And we are not able to do job if we have no body. Did you ever think about it? If we are just soul or soul with a spirit that connects us to God, it would be nice. I'm nice soul connected to God, but there is no use if I have no body. So everything that I am is vanity if I don't do it physically. If I don't do it, if there is no natural evidence of it.
Manifestation.
As I prayed, there was a German conference last year, and we had a nice meeting one night, and Brother Bert said, pray for whatever is on your heart to pray. And we were in a circle, the God was just there. So I started to pray against the spirit of atheism, because it's mainly written spirit in Czech Republic. And when I finished, I continued praying in my heart, and I said to God, God, I want to see physical evidence for what I prayed. And in my mind was a lady that was in a hospital, laying on bed, dying by cancer, and I knew that she is totally unbeliever.
Well, she was an atheist.
She was an atheist, a really bad atheist. You probably never met a bad atheist like that, cursing God and really not behaving nicely to other people. Because there was no law, there was nothing, no fear of good or bad, no fear of judgment. So she was really behaving badly. But when I came home, my wife, Magda, she got a phone call, and the lady, she went home from hospital, and she was totally changed. She started to apologize to everybody.
Apologize.
And the lady that took care of her, she is a Christian, and the nurse, and the lady started to kiss the hands of the nurse, asking for forgiveness how she behaved to her. And the nurse, and that's other part of the story. The same time we had a conference, God told her to fast for the lady. You see how it is important that we walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We did our job at the conference, but the lady did her job in the place she was. And when it was connected together, then it made a miracle.
Hallelujah.
And there was a physical evidence that the spirit was broken.
Amen.
So there must be always some physical evidence. Manifestation. If we repent, we don't go just to our room and, oh God, forgive me that I broke that thing, No, I have to go and repair the thing or buy a new one, or I have to do something physically. I have to go to that person and to say sorry. And try to repair what I did wrong. It's very bad when sometimes we do something wrong and we have no opportunity to correct it.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes it happens. I remember we were on the boat on the river, And there were people sitting on the bridge, you know, and I wanted to make a small fun, just to throw two drops on them from the boat. And there was one lady, and I took the paddle, how you call it, you know, the thing you use for water. Yeah. And I put the water and just on the bridge over them, and they were, you know, waving hi and so on. But there was not just few drops, there was really not nice water, and it dropped on one lady that was said, and I didn't want to do it, really, and I was very sorry for it, but because the river was so fast, I was not able to say even sorry. And I was really grieved in my heart. I said, what, I am a foolish man to do, you know, the stupid thing. I even didn't want to do it, but that way, but it happened. But I was not able to repent. And it was an example for me to be careful what I do, because there can be a place or a situation that I do something wrong, but I am not able to repent then, to correct the thing.
Yes,
so, when we do something, when we believe something, there must be manifestation through our bodies or in our circumstances. Mm. There must be some change. That's why God gave us body. Because God has a purpose, and this purpose is to save the world and save the earth. Because the earth was corrupted in the beginning.
That's right.
God created the earth, and there, and first thing that happened, the corruption came, the darkness came on the earth. And God started to repair the earth. You know, first He brings the life, then separation of the waters, and other things. And at the end of it, He put the man on the earth and say, you will finish the job.
That's right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
You will finish the job. You will redeem the earth.
Amen.
You will do the job. You will submit the earth to you. Because He was in a small garden. I don't know how big the garden was. You know, I have small garden.
Bigger than that.
But I believe it was bigger than that. But I don't think it was bigger like England, you know. I don't think so.
Bigger than what?
Like England.
She said the whole earth.
Probably not.
No, it was not whole earth, because earth was not submitted. You can read it. He created, how is it? Let's read it. It's the second chapter, I believe. Where is it? Was paradise. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So there was a place called Eden.
And eastward.
East of this Eden was God planted paradise. Yes. So it was like, we are in England, so you can imagine England as an Eden. And on the east part of Eden, of England, He planted paradise. So it was just small part of some other small part, not whole earth. And He put man into the paradise and said, it's your job to submit all earth unto you. All things. All things. So it was not done. It was not finished. The job was not it was not done. And God, that's why God gave us bodies. And we can't think about it naturally, to go and to dig or to build houses, you know. If God tells us to build a house, we have to do it. We can't just think about it. I believe one day I will build a house.
I'm thinking about the house.
But I will wait for a moment. Huh? No, I have to
see if it materializes.
Yeah. Sometimes we are too spiritual.
Ayamana.
Yes. Aren't we?
Amen.
Yeah. We think that we are so high that we don't need to do it physically. But faith, there are two kinds of faith, aren't they?
James.
There is James. Dead faith and living faith. I don't know how it is in English correctly, but
works.
Yeah. The living faith has works.
Amen.
So works means I do something for my body.
Amen.
If I don't do it for my body, it means my faith is dead.
And
it speaks about Fifth Church. You think you are alive, but you are dead. Isn't that true? It's very simple.
Yes, it is.
It's very simple. That's why God created us in three levels. And okay, maybe what colors do we have?
I have other colors if you need it.
Then more colors?
Oh, it's okay, let's see. So, we have spirit. That's the highest level. Then, we have soul. But soul is spiritual. It has spiritual substance. And because you can separate soul from the body totally.
Yes.
So it's spiritual. And then we have body. But body
is perishable.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to write. It's spiritual.
We need it.
I wanted to use different colors, but it's okay. So, why the body is spiritual? We understand that the soul is spiritual, but what you said it this morning, the body has two levels, yeah? You said. Why the body is spiritual? Because whatever is happening in the spirit is manifesting on the body and through the body. How do you hear the words I am saying now?
Physically
through your body, don't you?
And then it goes into the spirit.
But you, at the same time, you can sense the things in the spirit. So when you hear it through the body, it does something in your soul, but it's not enough. We need to hear from the Spirit that we know that the thing we hear is good or bad. Because we are not able to recognize it some other way, just by Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not by knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge can tell us something. But it's not enough. We need to have this experience and to hear from the Spirit what is true and what is not true. Yeah. That's why we need the Spirit that connects us with God, because God is the truth. So when we met with God, something is imparted in us. And Paul says, as you met with Christ, the same way walk in Him. Because when we met with Christ, something was imparted in us that is spiritual, that is from above, that is the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. So that's the thing we need to measure with. You know? So when we hear something, when we receive something, we need to measure it by Christ we received. And what does it mean, Christ? It's a nature. And what kind of nature is Christ?
God's nature?
Yeah, God's nature, but what does it mean practically? Some description of Christ's nature.
The anointing.
The anointing, okay. We would like to be anointed. Huh? But what else? What's the description of Christ?
Righteousness.
Do we believe in Christ?
Yes.
Yeah, so what do we believe in?
Truth.
We believe in
truth. Yeah. Merciful. Merciful. Yeah.
His.
Do you have, from Bible, do you have any description of Christ's nature?
Love.
No? He was on high place. And he descended down. And counted himself for nothing. To give his life so that others could live. I just said with my words. So that's the nature of Christ. Because we always think going up. Yeah? We would like to go up, don't we? But Christ's nature is to going down that others can go up.
Amen.
So everything must be measured by that nature. If there is something that doesn't come with it, that's why all the preachings about prosperity are wrong. Because they lead us wrong way. They lead us the way that we are be exalted, that we are be blessed, that we are be rich, we are be whatever. But as we read just to the church, you think you are alive, you are rich, you are whatever you are, but I see you as a dead. So, God gave us a goal, and the goal is to redeem the earth. And the... But what does it mean? It means to going down. Okay, so I had a question, and the question is if we are alive. First, I'm back in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, and he says that those that are alive will not prevent them which are asleep. So what does it mean asleep? You know, in the Greek there is a word that says something like comatose or something like this. So those who are in coma. It means those who are not aware of the things around. They are not conscious. They are out.
Out of reality.
So God wants first to rise up those who are in coma. So if we think that we are alive,
we might be in coma.
We're just on life support.
They don't think so much about us because it says that first will be last and last will be first.
Boy.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who are dead in Christ? Spiritually speaking.
Those who are dead to salvation.
Romans 6. Yeah?
We are buried with him in baptism.
Yeah. We are buried with him in baptism. So there is nothing that I desire than resurrection life.
Maya Manaya.
I think it was in London, wasn't it, when our brother Groover came through the park during the night. Henry Groover, do you know him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through the park and some men came to him with guns and said, money or life.
I'm dead already.
Huh? And he said, I'm dead already. It was a nice experience, isn't it? But we are afraid of that experience, aren't we?
Yeah.
And he was afraid too. If you listen to his story, he didn't know what to do in that moment. He was afraid. He was sure what to do now. But he prayed and he was able to calm himself and to listen to the Spirit. And that's the key. That's the key, that we are able in a heart position, in a heart condition, in a heart situation to stop ourselves, to stop our flesh, our thinking, our intelligence, our knowledge,
our
ambitions, whatever, and just say, oh God, what should I do now? What's the key now? And God said, you are dead.
Huh?
You are dead. So Thessalonians said that the dead will be raised
first,
but dead in Christ. That's the key, in Christ. In His nature. And we just spoke about His nature. So it means if we die because of His nature, because we don't think about ourselves, but we see how people around us are going to hell and they need to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Don't you have any neighbor that is in trouble and you see he or she is going to hell? We have a neighbor that and she is really in trouble and she is slowly dying, I would say. And I believe God put in my heart to do something about it. I don't know yet what to do practically, because maybe God will tell me, go there and tell her something. And I am not the person that goes to somebody that I really don't know and tell, hey, there is something more.
That's quite Czech.
Yeah, that's quite Czech. Yes, it is, I know. So you can pray for me to be delivered from being Czech.
I took American.
You know, when I came to United States first time, I was alone in Chicago, in the middle of Chicago, looking for a bus station, and I tried to ask people for a journey, and they were afraid of me. They didn't want to talk to me. I don't know, maybe I looked strange, you know, coming from East country, it was very close after the communist time, so I looked for sure differently than they looked. And I didn't speak properly English, even I don't speak until today, but they didn't want to talk to me. They were just, you know, oh, don't touch this man. And we have the same mentality. We have the same mentality in Czech. And more are we wealthy, more money we have, more better clothes we have, then we have more problems with that, don't we?
That's right.
Huh? Because we feel so clean, so nice, and I would not touch this strange man that is on the street. Sometimes there is a time to take somebody who is drunk on the street.
Mm-hmm.
We did it one time and then we had to clean our car, but I believe we really helped this woman. Yeah? We don't want to do it. So maybe one day God will tell me to go to that lady and to tell her something for her salvation. But around us there is many, many other people that are going to hell. And it reminded me of a dream that Brother George shared with us in the Czech conference about the gates of hell that were open and that many people are going to that gate. And if we have our eyes open and we see those people going to hell, we can't stay just, you know, sitting in our church.
No, you can't.
We can't, because we know Christ. So if we really see those people going to hell, we need to do something about it. And we need to do something about it physically. It means to pray, it means to fast, it means to ask God, what should I do? And when God tells me, go and tell something to that person, I have to do it. Because it means my Czech nature has to die. And so I believe that or at least that was my feeling when I came to this conference. You know, it was my feeling. It seemed to me like we are trying to rig something up, and it's like a ceiling. You want to get up, and it just gets back, because even with more strength, because when you throw it up, you know, it doesn't go down just because of gravity, but because it hit the ceiling. Huh? Like a ball, when you hit the ceiling with a ball, it goes down with double speed. That's what I felt when I came to this conference. That we are trying to get up, but we are just hitting the ceiling.
Oh, Jesus.
And I believe the key, there is a key.
Oh, yeah,
and the key is faith. That's the key. The faith that does the job. That does the physical thing. That physical manifestation. And we have to do it through our bodies. So when God calls us to go somewhere, we have to go there. We can't just think about it. We can't just pray about it. I don't tell you not to wait for the word of the Lord, you know, to not just jumping here and there because of your heart. But if we really believe it's God, we have to do it.
Amen.
We have to do it. And if we don't do it, then it means we are failing and we are just hitting some level, but it doesn't go through. It doesn't go through. So there were those thoughts. It's probably all I have from my heart. I would like to encourage you more somehow, because it looks like it's more about not so encouraging, saying that we are dead. But I believe it's something that should stir us. Something in us must be stirred that we do things differently. That we do things differently, because we still do things old way. We still like this old house. You remember the dream about the old and new house? We still do things in the way of the old house. And we think we choose the new house, but because the house looks very similar. From the outside, there is no real difference. No real difference. But the inside, there must be something different. There must be something different, because this old house, we will still look like a church, you know, like a fellowship, like some people that come together, do things, have visions, dreams, words, but something must be different. There must be different spirit. There must be different. There must be life in it.
Amen. Amen.
There must be life in it. And this life doesn't come no other way than by faith. No other way. So I hope God will help us. God will help us to have a faith and to really rise up, to be risen first.
Amen.
Because death in Christ will be risen first. And we know that the trumpet, it's at the moment of the last trumpet. And the last trumpet speaks about the resurrection. But, you know, we have to, other thing, we have to believe in the resurrection. Do you know it? Do you know that we have to believe in the resurrection, but not believe that it will fall on us? Because we still think that the resurrection is something that we sit in the chair,
what happened to us?
Being dead, and think it will fall on us and we will rise up suddenly. No, resurrection is something different. You know, again, some practical thing. There was a brother Gruber again. He told us a story. He had a cancer. You know the story probably. He had a cancer. He was full of cancer. So finally, he ended up in the hospital and he was dying. It was all connected with those wires and pipes and tubes and whatever. And he was dying. And he said, I saw my spirit leading me. And I commanded my spirit to come back. Huh?
Hallelujah.
And when he did it, he got source of life.
Amen.
And he had to do it 3 times. And when he did it first time, he was totally healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But he had to command his own spirit. Isn't it strange? So it means that his resurrection was a matter of his faith.
Yes, yes.
And he did it. He did it. He did it. He did his own resurrection. Huh? I don't tell you that we always
it is a scriptural principle. Jesus said, I lay my life down so that I might pick it up again.
Amen.
But we don't believe it. We don't believe that we have resurrection in us. Because resurrection is faith. And if we have a faith,
we wouldn't fear dying.
We would not fear to die. And we have power to take our lives.
Ah, hallelujah.
We have we have the power to command to our bodies, to command to our souls. We have that power. And it's something that we miss. And we think that it will just fall on us. No, it will not. I don't believe so. I thought it would be like this. But I will tell you, I don't believe it that it will just fall on me. I have to believe it. So when the time comes, and Jesus comes with his glory, it means he comes with certain power, but I have to receive it by faith.
Amen. Amen.
So I have to do some act, some work.
Some exercise.
If I never overcame a flu by faith, I can't overcome cancer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Faith is like a muscle. I have to exercise. And faith in the resurrection is the same thing.
Amen.
I have to exercise it. I have to believe that I have power to overcome death.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
To overcome hell.
Yes.
I have to believe it, that my soul will not end up in hell. In Bible, we have several men that had some some understanding of it.
Yes.
Moses, he had understanding. He knew that soul goes to hell. Bible says Sheol, it means underworld hell. The preacher speaks about it, He says, enjoy your life because you go, and it's in Bible is written grave, but the original is Sheol, it means to hell.
Yes.
Enjoy your life under the sun because one day you end up in hell.
You end up in hell.
And there is no joy anymore. So they had this understanding that the soul goes to Sheol. But there was some understanding of some man that they can escape it.
Amen.
And by faith. And Moses, he took the faith, and God told him, it's your time to go to Sheol.
So he took the lamb.
And he made his last sacrifice, and by the law, he was clean. So he couldn't go to Sheol.
Amen!
By faith. And not only that his soul didn't go to Sheol, but he even took his body. Why don't we believe that we can take our body? Where is the problem? We have blood of Jesus Christ, we have Holy Spirit, that is Spirit of Resurrection.
That's right.
And we are afraid of death. We are afraid to go to the railway station or airport because maybe there is a terrorist.
Yeah, I would ask.
Jesus.
Yeah? We can't be afraid. We can't be. We have to really believe that the resurrection is in us and that we have power. Sons of God will have a power to lay their lives or to
take it up again. Hallelujah.
It's not that just God will do it and they will just follow somehow. But they will cooperate with God like Moses did.
Hallelujah.
Elijah.
Okay,
I made a mistake.
Hallelujah. Enoch.
Hallelujah. They cooperated with God. They knew that it's time of overcoming. Elijah, he crossed the Jordan because he knew it's appointed time to overcome. And by faith, he was taken. So I believe that's something that we need to pray for. We need to pray for more faith. We need to pray against the spirit of fear.
Yes.
We need to pray against this spirit that tries to keep us down on this lower level, but intimidate us. But in the same time, we have to do some practical things.
Yes.
That we believe in.
Amen.
So if we believe it, we have to do it.
That's right.
May God bless you.